A lot of AC/DC requests coming in on All Request Friday, which is not abnormal, to be honest. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line for All Request Friday. What's the tune you want to hear to get revved up for football weekend in Saskatchewan? Kicks off tonight, SMF Field, with the 6A High School Football Championship between Saskatoon's Holy Cross and Regina's Miller. Four more high school provincial finals tomorrow in 5A, 4A, 2A, and 1A. And then, of course, the Hardy Cups tomorrow, Saskatchewan against Regina. And then the Hilltops host Okanagan in the Canadian Bowl. And yes, the Riders do play the BC Lions tomorrow as well.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too.
95.2% of all of Saskatchewan will consume football in some form or another this weekend.
We did the math. It worked out 95.2. Consuming or playing involved in football.
We even carried the two.
Now here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids.
It's time to drop the gloves.
We're losing!
We're guys, more team.
They're burying us alive!
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I can't wait to ask Drew Amenda his big, bold Riders prediction. He nailed one a couple of weeks ago. Drew, do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
He said the Riders will clinch first, but not win by enough to do it, which will have the post-game show very angry. And that is exactly what happened that day.
In his attempt to troll the pregame show, he got a prediction right.
Nailed it.
It's just the way it is. Yep, nailed it.
So we'll ask
a squirrel can find in that.
We'll ask Drew Romanda's big, bold Rider prediction at the end of dropping the gloves. But I need to talk about Ryan O'Reilly last night.
Yes, he needs a hug.
I can't make a 6-foot pass to save my life. I had one good year in my entire career.
Yeah.
What?
This is a guy who, at that good year he's talking about, I think it was 77 points. Conn Smythe Trophy winner and helped his team, the St. Louis Blues at the time, win the Stanley Cup.
It's a pretty fine season.
I think he was trying to take some heat off the rest of the team.
Well, he was very emotional. Like when you watch that video, he's not quite tearing up, but he's very emotional about how he's playing at the moment. Now he's played 1,138 games, I think it is, and had over 800 points. So he's had more than one good season. I would take Ryan O'Reilly on my team any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I mean, this guy is a leader, and that shows to me leadership. I want more guys taking responsibility. I want more guys standing up, you know, to say, yeah, I've been friggin' brutal, and I got to be better. I didn't like the only part I didn't like was, and I don't have an answer for it, because I would like to have like a solution there. But
shocking, he didn't last in Toronto.
Right. Well, exactly, because he's a guy
accountable.
Give me somebody who's self-aware. Give me somebody who looks in the mirror and goes, no, you've got to be better. You've got to be a leader on this team, and you've got to be better, and you've got to show the way. I think it's fantastic, but I do worry about the fact that he's so down on himself. There are those guys that the negative voices just take over, and they're louder than anybody else's voices. They're louder than your own positive influence voice. And you get to a point where you believe the negative. Right now, he's definitely believing the negative. So he needs to, that's why you have team psychologists. That's why you have coaches. That's why you have teammates. You go talk to them and say, hey, what do you see? And hopefully Stamkos or Marchessault or Soros or any of those terrific players in Nashville who are, again, not doing as much as we thought they were going to be able to do are going to be able to talk to him, put their arm around him, and say, hey, man, you are a leader. You are a good player. You can't say that you only had one good season. You've had great seasons. That's why you are who you are. But it's a very interesting self-awareness, but also that negative talk that we all do. We all go through it.
Well,
and Bouchard, he doesn't go through it.
There are athletes out there that I've got one in my family that is my youngest is like this. She's just like unbelievably hard on herself. And I was watching. Did you watch that Prime doc? The Face Off. The second one just came out. Sid's featured quite heavily in it. Seth Jarvis. Seth from Winnipeg on the Hurricanes. There was a lot of conversation in his piece about like his mental health struggles and how hard he is on himself. I think that this is not uncommon in professional sports. And I don't know what the answer is, but there are people that reach and achieve things, and I think they're there a little bit because of that wiring.
Exactly. That they expect perfection from themselves, and they expect perfection from everybody else. There are some guys who display it outwardly. Nathan MacKinnon.
He's
very emotional on the ice and on the bench, and he's a driver, but he also lets guys have it on the bench. Joe Thornton was the same way. But then there's other guys who, like Ryan O'Reilly, or some other guys who take it internally, like Jarvis, who take it internally and think, I got to be better. I got to make my teammates better by me being better. And that's what O'Reilly's doing. He's one of those guys that likes to drag other teammates into the fight, and he doesn't think he's doing that right now and earning his keep. But if you look across the world, just in everyday walks of life, there's been study after study after study that has absolutely 100% proven that as just everyday normal human beings, we are more inclined to believe the negative things people say about us versus the positive things that people say about us. And it's you know, that's why coaching has taken such a big change in the NHL anyway. I can only talk about the NHL, and I can't talk about anything else, but in the NHL, how coaches are trying to reach these players differently, because the younger players now, it was Mark Cabshai, Jamie, that told us this, wasn't it? The players have to know how much you believe in them before they care about how much you know. And it's very different. That's the way they have to be nowadays.
Our NHL analyst. I'm going to have to think about that one. Can you say that again?
Yeah.
I need that again.
Players need to know how much you care before they care about how much you know.
Okay.
I just need to applaud Locker real quick, Drew.
Yeah.
That was impressive that you let that Bouchard shot that Drew took just sit there.
No, I was focused on
not responding to that. I thought Drew was like ready to spark a flame, and you didn't even bite. No, I was like, wow.
No, I didn't want to shift gears because I wanted to stay on that. I'm very intrigued by this. I'm very intrigued by that wiring, right? How that impacts your and how you can actually develop. Or like get to certain levels when you knock yourself down like that constantly, right?
Watch a bench when players come off the ice after a shift. I'm on the bench all the time during games, and you watch guys come off the ice on either team. It doesn't matter what kind of shift it was, unless they scored, and guys will be coming off with, you know what, and then grab the tablet right away and start looking, all the time.
Okay,
that shows you.
I've been skating through life with a wildly inflated ego.
That's what I do too. Undeserved.
Can you do these jobs without having an ego? Let's be honest.
Very right.
I'm going to tell people what I think 24/7 and have no ego about it. Coming up next, Drew Remenda's theory. We've had many, many theories. Drew Remenda's theory on what Jordan Binnington was trying to do or wanting to do with the Alex Ovechkin 900th puck the other night as he shoved it in his pants after a pretty ugly goal by Ovechkin. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Friday. Drew Remenda's our NHL analyst. That was a strange, strange thing that happened Wednesday night.
Watch, after the goal is scored, he's got the puck. Watch what he does with the puck. He's going to keep it in his pants. I don't know if he wants to sell it on the open market or not, but they're not going to get that puck from Binnington.
See, a lot of people, if it was Marc-Andre Fleury, nobody would have an issue with it because he's a prankster. This is where it gets lost. Who is Jordan Binnington? Because there's a lot of rumors that he's a little bit angry at some point. So what's your theory, Drew, on what Jordan Binnington was? He just ticked off at how ugly that goal was and wanted to steal the puck, or did you think he actually intended to return it to Alexander Ovechkin?
I have no doubt in my mind he was going to take that puck. and he was going to destroy it. He was going to put it, like, you know, we got those saws now, those automatic saws in the dressing room to cut the sticks up. Yeah. I think he was cutting that sucker in half and in quarters and then as small as he could make it, and he was going to go sprinkle it at the feet of Ovechkin as he was walking out the door. I love the fact that when a person's character is completely revealed, I love that. And listen, whatever gets you there, you and I have talked about this before, Jamie, when we were doing the show together, there's whatever you got to do to get you to where you need to get to in order to be as good as you can be. I have no doubt in my mind, because he is very angry, he is a guy who is a very intense competitor, I have no doubt that he was thinking, I'm burning this thing, I'm going to wreck this thing, I'm going to start a voodoo curse on this guy.
Thank you.
No more.
See, we tried to say, is he a champ or a chump? And I'm like, chump, chump. What? He was going to, everybody else, he's just having some fun. I'm like, I don't think so.
I didn't think that.
Fun guy.
No. I didn't think that. Because it looked like it was a bit, it didn't take long, but it looked like it was a bit of an involved conversation to get the puck back.
Well, the linesman's like, you know, give me the puck. He's like,
I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there. You're going in there and getting that puck.
I'm curious about your thoughts about the goaltending situation for Team Canada in the Olympics in February, because, we've got Aiden Hill might be hurt and maybe out until December. Montembeau has not looked good. Binner, do you take him regardless of his performance this year? St. Louis has just been awful, and he is part of the problem.
Yeah, exactly. But he wasn't great last year, and they took him to the Four Nations, and he raised his game. He does have a history of being able to raise his game. If Mackenzie Blackwood gets some more time, because he just come back from injury, I'd be looking at Mackenzie Blackwood. He is, you know, the Sharks had him for a while. As far as the person goes, as far as the athlete goes, the goaltender goes, he is fantastic. I have nothing but love for Mackenzie. Hmm. And then after that,
Who's the best Canadian goaltender right now?
Logan Thompson.
It's Logan Thompson.
I was just going to say, Logan's probably your best Canadian guy right now.
But apparently Bruce Cassidy doesn't like him.
No, Bruce Cassidy doesn't like him. I heard that the other day. Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It wasn't a like him or dislike him thing. It was more, they were concerned about the type of personality he is, which is funny because they took Binnington with him.
Exactly.
But that he wouldn't be able to play as a backup and that he was going to cause a problem in the room. I don't know if there's any merit to that at all.
That's freaking garbage. When you're sitting in that room and you've got Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Cale Makar, and Marchand and all the rest of those guys, you're going to be a disruption. Are you freaking kidding me? No, I think that's garbage.
All right, Drew Remenda, it's time for Drew Remenda's big, bold West final prediction for the Riders and the Lions tomorrow. What do you got?
Well, I think the big thing with the news that Brett Lauther's coming back and Hughes is sitting out, that Lauther's been reinstated, you have to look at the fact that Brett Lauther, after all the crap he's taken, he was only, 72% this year with field goals or something like that. He will kick the game-winning field goal with the seconds dying off the clock to once again be raised up as a Saskatchewan hero.
If that storyline is true, I will love everybody knows how much respect I have for Brett Lauther.
Yes, you do.
If that happens, I know I have to be on the post-game show. I'll want to run on the field and lift Brett Lauther up. Like, my goodness.
Watch your back. Stretch first.
Yeah. Oh.
He can't get out of his desk chair, Drew.
Hey, it was just yesterday. I'm good today. I'm feeling better.
Hey, you guys, there's these things called gyms.
I work out every day.
I've never met him. Have a good weekend, Drew.
All right, boys.
That is Drew Remenda here on the Green
Zone. I don't want to be lumped into the I don't work out.
No, you're pretty good.
I'm in okay shape.
I am pretty,
I'm not in Drew Remenda shape, but I'm in okay shape.
I'm pretty not in shape. That is, I'm a shape.
You have a shape.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. No Keyshawn Johnson tomorrow for the Rough Riders. And as Drew Remenda said, it is Brett Lawther kicking the field goals for the Riders tomorrow against the BC Lions. 5:30 is the kickoff. 3:30 is the Green Zone pregame show to get you set for the West Final. Enjoy football this weekend, Saskatchewan. There's plenty of it. Starts tonight with the 6A. 12-a-side high school championship. Regina's Miller in Saskatoon to take on Saskatoon's Holy Cross. Four more high school provincial finals tomorrow. Hardy Cups tomorrow. Canadian Bowl is on Sunday. And the Prairie Women's Tackle League final is Sunday as well in Yorkton against Mooseman. Coming up here on the Green Zone, Claire Hanna is going to join us from the CFL on TSN, working the sidelines, getting ready for Grey Cup and a preview of the playoffs. And well, we got to talk to Claire. She was front row at the news conference. Ryan Dinwiddie, new head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. I thought we were done listening to this song after Game 7 of the World Series. This is bringing back trauma. What are we doing? Jamie and Locker here on the Green Zone. But we're getting ready for the West Final tomorrow. It's football weekend in Saskatchewan. 6A Provincial Championship tonight. 4A, 5A, 1A, 2A tomorrow. Hardy Cup tomorrow. Prairie Football, Women's Tackle Football League final Sunday. Canadian Bowl Sunday and the West Final tomorrow. To preview the CFL playoffs and talk a little bit about those Ottawa Redblacks is Ottawa. Are you a bureau chief, Claire Hanna? Bureau chief?
Sports reporter, but that's like the fancy word.
Yes, Ottawa bureau chief for TSN, Claire Hanna, formerly of CTV Regina, of course, in the flesh, ready to do the sideline. Are you ready to do the sidelines tomorrow in what could be minus 15 or worse wind chill?
I have a rule. Usually if I'm only traveling for 2 days or 3 days, I do carry on. I did not do carry on for this trip. I had a full piece of luggage, just packed so many layers. I was even shopping for winter boots just down the street at Cornwall in case, because I was like, did I even bring the right footwear? I'm not sure. I have to pick up some hand warmers tonight. I think I'm ready because I always do this over-prepare thing with layers. I think I'll get ready with me tomorrow. You don't know what that means, but yeah, the kids do.
Is that like a TikTok thing?
It's where you show how you get ready. And so it's like all the layers, you know, and the preparation that goes into it. Yeah, get ready
with
me.
You are an old man.
Get off my lawn.
So what's a cold? Because on the sidelines, you are, especially Amazon, you're kind of protected from the wind. But you are in the elements. You're out there for the whole game. Can you run back in and warm up a little bit here and there? Or you don't really have time, do you?
No, there's no here and there. The only time that I get a chance for a little break is halftime, right after we've done the player interview for the one team and before the players come out for the second half. So I typically reserve that for a quick bathroom break, maybe get a little tea to bring back on the sidelines. But it's about 5 minutes off. But in between quarters, no dice. Okay. You got to stay there. You could be watching what the players are saying. You got to be talking to people.
What's the coldest game you've done?
I was actually trying to think about this. So I think some of the coldest games I've done, there was one in Winnipeg. It was, I think, just a regular season game, but it was sneaky cold at the very beginning of November, and I just hadn't prepared properly.
Those are the worst.
Yeah, I thought I had the right, and it's not like it was minus 25, but it was minus 5, but I was treating it maybe more like a zero game, and it was really tough. My feet were cold, my hands were cold, and you're just trying to tough it through.
Yeah.
But I think maybe on paper, the coldest game was the Grey Cup here in Regina a couple of years ago, but it was only, I think it was minus 10. It wasn't even that bad.
It's not that bad.
So I've been lucky, you guys, knock on wood.
It was crazy. That 2013, the week of the 2013 Grey Cup was miserable here. It was like minus ridiculous all week, and then it was plus 1 for game day. It was wild. Claire Hanna joining us, CFL on TSN, Ottawa bureau chief for TSN Sports. Let's get into the biggest Ottawa story. You were front row center for Ryan Dinwiddie. Were you a bit shocked you were at that press? Like, really? I had a press conference. Ryan Dinwiddie's the head coach and GM of the Ottawa Redblacks. Did this really just happen?
Well, when I saw the tweets and when we got the press release, I thought, wait, am I reading this right? Like, why is Ryan Dinwiddie in the subject line for the Ottawa Redblacks? And then I realized what was happening. And before the press conference, you know, you're seeing the reaction from sports fans, whether that's on the radio or online. Ottawa has hope again. Like, they're excited about this hire.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It has been a rough 8 years there. Besides making the playoffs last year, they've had a lot of losing seasons. Some of those seasons, you guys have had four wins.
No, they're,
it's been tough. Bad. And here's the thing. They've kind of continued. It was Paul Lapolis had a rough time. There was, you know, some quarterback change over there. And then Bob Dice gets hired from within. And I know the players were really supportive of that decision. And I think maybe there was some bad luck with injuries this year for Bob Dice. But I think that the fan base was just worried that maybe once again, there would just kind of be another internal hire or a newer type coach coming to the organization. So all of a sudden, Ryan Dinwiddie, who's won two Grey Cups in the last 4 years, I think the fan base was just like, yes, we've got hope again. Maybe we're going to be on the right path now.
During the games, you're in a unenviable position of having to interview coaches that might be doing not so great in that in the middle of that
or,
game.
Or players.
Mm-hmm. Or players, yes. Have you got an easiest coach to interview?
Easiest?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that all the coaches are great with answers. For them, for right now in the CFL, I'll be honest, there's nobody that I'm really worried about, oh gosh, we have to talk to this coach.
Okay.
Usually if I'm talking to the coach, it's because the team's losing, okay?
Yeah.
Usually we don't choose a coach if the team's up by a lot because there's a lot of players to choose from. But I've never had a moment where I said, oh gosh, okay, this is going to be a tough one. It's more just, okay, let's think about thoughtful questions that are going to provide the audience and fans with some information about why things have gone downhill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some coaches that maybe are a little bit shorter than others, but I don't think that means that's a bad answer.
I've had to do sideline interviews when I was in radio.
Yeah.
How hard is it after the first question goes with two-word answer to go, uh-oh, I only got two questions. I got to make the next one really good.
You know, there's like
panic. They want 60 seconds out of me.
I think if you go watch on TSN interviews for any short answer, you see this moment where the eyes of the reporter just bulge, or you can see the things turning in our brains. But usually, like, I have my second question typically in the back of my mind, but based on the first question, I might go a different direction, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes that first question is so short that you can kind of be like, well, why?
Yeah.
Why based on what they said?
So, Claire, how amped up are you for this West final? Like, BC's coming in. MLP, it's going to be Nathan Rourke. It's like, seriously. He was the all-star, so you'd think he'd get the votes over Bo for MLP as well. But it's the best team in the league. It's Saskatchewan. It's cold weather. It's going to be a sellout. Like, you know this market from covering it. What do you expect tomorrow? Just the community, the energy, the game. What is your expectation for the West Final?
Fireworks, Pill Country going off. I'm expecting beer guzzling. I'm expecting electricity. I was so excited when Saskatchewan got the right to host this because I knew I was going to be on the West Final. And this market and Winnipeg are two of the most exciting football markets. So when there's a game that means this much and a team like the Riders that haven't been to the Grey Cup since 2013... you know, it just is so amplified. And I love that football means everything to this province. Because now that I've been in the East for a little bit, I think you need to leave the province and cover our other markets to recognize how big a deal football is in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And it really is the heartbeat here. And it's so magical. And then when I even look at the matchup itself, okay, so that's just one prong. The second prong is how good these teams are and how well they stack up against one another. And even just the veteran in Trevor Harris, 39 years old, versus this, not even up and coming because he's already established himself, but just how much more of a career does Nathan Rourke have? And then I look at the defenses. Matthew Betts on one side, he's just tearing things up. But then you've got players like Carney, AJ Allen, Thurman on the Rider side. I don't think we can make real accurate predictions because I think this is going to be just a battle royale and I love it.
You're covering Grey Cup.
Yeah.
You're probably going right from here to Winnipeg I'm curious if you have, and we've been asking everybody today, advice for broadcasters. There's an outside possibility that I'm going to be in Winnipeg next week.
Covering his first ever Grey Cup.
Yes, yeah. So what advice would you give a new broadcaster covering a Grey Cup? I've been to Grey Cups, not on that level.
I feel like you should maybe drink a beer at Portage in Maine. Okay. When it's really cold and windy, because that's kind of an iconic spot in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I'd go to Palomino. Like, are you talking about off the field or on the field or what? Like, everything?
I'm just talking about everything. Okay. Yeah. Davis Sanchez's advice to Locker was drink water.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm excited. I think that there's so many activities when you look at the schedule of a Grey Cup week. And okay, first of all, you're sitting across from Jamie, who is been to every Grey Cup in the last whatever, how many years?
Apparently legendary, too.
Yeah, dude, like, he's the one asked for advice.
15 of the last 16.
But it's like, I'm going to say so that's a lot. I've only been to the last four, but I think look at the schedule, because there's so many things. I don't know if they're doing the state of address this year, but each calendar day, circle maybe what your priority is.
Okay.
You got to plan this out. Map it out. Don't just go by the seat of your pants. Leave spots that are open for maybe that's napping or maybe that's adding a fun little activity in.
Okay.
But I'd say choose one priority activity a day you want to attend and then rank them out after that. But yeah, give yourself some breathing time so that if you want, you can just go to the Forks and enjoy some
I'll
coffee.
Never forget my
I
first Grey Cup.
I do like the
cup.
Fact that she thinks that you're going to give me advice on
no,
how to
I'm letting
Grey
them sink
cup.
Or swim. Like, yeah. I'm just throwing them into the ocean and see what happens. 100%. That's where I'm at.
I already knew that.
Because I remember my first Grey Cup covering it. It was 2009 was my first one. We don't have to talk about how it ended. But all week, I think I was telling Britton about this. It's like I had probably had 400 hours of tape and only used like four. Like it was just... I was everywhere, interviewing everybody, analysts, this guy, I'll get an interview. And I barely used any of it because all of a sudden it's like, the commissioner's going to drop by your broadcast location and you get a one-on-one for a half an hour. I'm like, I guess like it just moves. It's a living organism. You don't know what the next story is going to be. And then something happens at practice and it's, change of plans. Like we're going with backup corners for the Montreal Alouettes for the Grey Cup. Like it's fun.
The volume of content that you get is overwhelming. Yeah.
And then there's the parties at night.
Yeah.
There's those two that you have to incorporate. Meanwhile, you're going to the Olympics, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you. Not as an athlete.
Been there, done that almost. What are you anticipating as you're doing a rinkside reporter for hockey? What are you anticipating?
Just to give you a little insight on what my role is, I'm doing hockey, mainly women's and then some men's. And I'm going to be in Milan for the month. And Milan, actually, the Italy Olympics are a little spread out compared to a normal games. If you think about Paris.
I've heard about that. Apparently, the sort of getting back and forth from the accommodations to where they're going to be doing everything is just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's almost, I think there's going to be accommodations in various locations because in Milan, it's just hockey, speed skating, and figure skating. And so, but then in the Cortina, the mountain region, even when you go out there, it's not like every downhill skiing or cross-country skiing is in one location. I think curling's 2 hours away. And then biathlon's another hour away. So I think it's great for the country because you could be living in so many, you know, different areas and have access to a sport. But as somebody traveling to watch them, it's a bit more spread out. But I'm really excited. I've been covering the PWHL for the last 2 years in Ottawa and traveled a bit with that. And it makes me emotional thinking about the women's hockey and just they finally have a league to play in where they're making money and they can make more money. I know it's going to go up from here, but for so many years leading up to the Olympics, it would just be these camps that they would be training at for months and months. And then they might have the rivalry series against the United States. But now they get to play year round in these incredible leagues that are so high paced and high level. And
it's good hockey.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's good hockey.
And talking to Emily Clark about it, it's like, they can use body contact a little bit more in the PWHL than they can internationally. The adjustment is going back to international rules because sometimes they roughing penalty, and they're, oh, yeah, we can't do that right now in the international game.
She's with the Ottawa Charge, so I get to cover Emily Clark in all of her pro games.
Yeah.
But, as you know. But the transition for that now to the Olympics is going to be exciting, too, because now we're going to have even more rivalries within the Olympics. You know, when I think about Hillary Knight playing against Marie-Philippe Poulin when they also play each other in the PWHL.
Yeah.
And obviously, having the NHL players back since Sochi for the first time, that's going to be exciting, too. And I was at the Four Nations last year covering that. Got to be in Boston, and that was really neat to witness, and I think that was just a teaser.
Okay, what do you think of the jerseys? I'm not a fan. Lockers mixed.
Why don't you like them?
Something about the black. It's not on the flag or something.
The Canadian flag is red and white, and they've only have one jersey of the three that is red and white.
When was the last time you looked at our flag? Because I just see red and white on that, Jamie. I don't see any black on that.
Exactly. Why is there a black jersey? Why is there a black maple leaf?
Okay, sorry. I think it's okay to have some variety. I thought you were talking about having some black on the outline of the red and white ones.
No.
It's just a different home and away jersey.
A red jersey with a black maple leaf?
It's kind of embossed. You know, it seems like the flag is a bit raised and the diamonds within it. I think that's neat. I think it's simple. I don't think you should overcomplicate a jersey. I think you want a nice, simple look, and it's fresh. I like it a lot.
I do like the simplicity of it as well, and I think it really pops.
It's Claire Hanna from TSN on the sideline tomorrow for the West Final. Can't wait for it. You can tell this community is just the energy level continues to rise.
Speaking of popping.
Closer to kickoff. Riders one win away from going to Winnipeg in their first Grey Cup since 2013. Claire, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
More coming up on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Keyshawn Johnson is out for the Riders tomorrow. Dante Myers and Joe Robustelli will start at receiver. You have Antoine Brooks starting at Sam linebacker. CJ Revis will be the safety tomorrow for the Rough Riders. And Brett Lawther is back on the roster to kick the field goals in the West Final tomorrow. 5:30 is game time. The Green Zone pregame show at 3:30. High school playoffs tonight, 6A. Provincial final in Saskatoon at 6:30. Kickoff, it's Miller against Holy Cross. And, of course, all the other provincial high school finals go tomorrow. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we'll keep the football talk going as we get set. And we want to know from you, who are you cheering for? What player do you want to see get their moment in a Grey Cup? Do you have? Is it Trevor Harris? Is it somebody else? Is it Lawther? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.